our God, being near you is such a deep and rich privilege. Knowing that your presence touches the depths of our being. That such love reaches into our whole heart. So this morning, as we look at your word again, Father, by your Spirit, open our eyes to a new understanding. Teach us with a new clarity. And continue to pursue us and to lead us as we seek to serve you in this world as your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we continue today to look at the series and the parables of the kingdom. And one of the intriguing things to me as I've looked into these parables, these seven parables of Matthew 13, is the incredible depth of what's contained in this one chapter. But as we heard in our reading this morning, the parables can be very short. But in these few words, a lot can be said. Small things can have big effects. When you think about music, basically, it comes from eight notes. I don't know about you, when I was learning music a long time ago, which was all a bit of a challenge for me, I kept on thinking, you know, there must be some exhaustion to how many times you can rearrange these notes to make something sound. So why can't I just sit at the piano and it just do it for me? Didn't work like that, though, does it? There's only eight notes, for crying out loud. Oh, hang on, there's 64 on a piano, and I've only got 10 fingers. But it's eight notes. And all words said or written in English come from 26 letters. I could quite get them right either. Now, I spelt my name wrong once when I was at primary school. And you know what my punishment was? Was to write my name correctly 100 times. It's stuck in my mind ever since. And every time I leave the H out of my name, which sometimes I do still, I remember. Small beginnings can have profound and extensive results, can't they? That's the lesson of these parables. And if we understand this, we'll understand what these parables are teaching. At the time, the disciples had come some way, actually not a very far along this way, to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the king who would set up a kingdom. They understood that the king would come in glory and power, and it would be dramatic and catastrophic, and all those who rejected or opposed the king would be punished. And they were looking for the music, the glory and the show and the publicity. But it didn't happen that way. And they kept asking, is this the Messiah? This was a constant struggle for them. Even though Jesus told them again and again who he was, they still struggled. And at the beginning of Acts, after the resurrection and all that had gone on, we hear them again say, will you at this time bring the kingdom? A little earlier, Jesus said, I must die, and they rejected that, as Peter did when he said, Lord, let it not be so, it can't happen. But again, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. You see, they were looking for the dramatic and the triumphant, but it didn't happen. And Jesus teaches them well why in Matthew 13. He says, before that comes, there is a form of the kingdom which now exists, which you must understand so you're not confused. And Jesus gives them seven parables which explain to them the kingdom in its mystery prior to the kingdom's final establishment and the blaze of glory that they were anticipating. Now they could have felt, and I know if I was one of the disciples, I certainly would have felt this, that's if I had hung around long enough. They could have helped and said, it's just us guys, we're the kingdom of God in the world and the odds are unbelievable, we're going to get wiped out. So Jesus teaches them these two parables that show how very small beginnings, the kingdom, from very small beginnings, the kingdom is going to grow in spite of the opposition to ultimately influence the whole world. The first two of the seven parables talk about conflict. They talk about the fight between right and wrong. The next two talk about the victory of the right. That in the end, the little tiny mustard seed fills the earth and a little piece of yeast causes a whole loaf of bread to rise. What started very small ends up profoundly influencing everything. The first two parables describe the nature of the kingdom with followers of Jesus and those opposed to him side by side. The next two parables describe the power of the kingdom. In spite of its smallness, it will sweep the world. When you think about it, the first parable of the soils talks about the breadth of the kingdom. The field is the world. The second parable talks about the length of the kingdom. It will go on until the harvest at the end of time. The third parable about the mustard seed talks about the height of the kingdom, like a tiny seed growing into a great tree. The fourth parable of the yeast talks about the depth of the kingdom as it is hidden in the dough and influences from within. So we have the kingdom seen in its breadth and its length and its height and its depth. Jesus is describing the dimensions of the kingdom. And after he's done all of this, the next two parables are about the kingdom's application and the life of the individual. So now let's look at this parable of the mustard seed. This parable describes something of the external power of the kingdom. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becomes a tree. In fact, it is so big that the birds of the air come and make their home in its branches. Now, it is thought that the mustard seed Jesus had in mind is the black mustard, and it grows between 2 and 4.5 meters in height in the field. It's a reasonably large tree, especially at 4.5 meters. Jesus is saying that there is no connection between the smallness of the seed and the largeness of the end result. And that's his point. He is saying, firstly, the kingdom will start small. In fact, it was so small they couldn't even recognize that the kingdom was there. Think about the disciples at the start. They didn't add up to much, a mustard seed. They were so small, so inadequate, so inconsequential, so unqualified, so fearful, so faithless, and so weak at their graduation they ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I know that if I'd have been amongst them, I probably would have been running first. And that was the kingdom that was planted. So small. Secondly, the kingdom started very small and ends very large. When the kingdom has fully come, Jesus reigns over the whole earth. This is still to happen in its full effect. In fact, it says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And those of us who know Handel's Messiah would recognize that that's contained in it. One of those great, events in the Messiah. And of course, Handel pinched it from Revelation. But it foretells the great and the triumphant end of all things. And we can look at the world and we can look at world politics. And most of us have been around long enough to know all the books that were written around World War I and around World War II and around the Korean War and around Vietnam and around the 1967 war in Israel. And now we're all full of anticipation about what's going on now. And we can look and we can become fearful than the events of the world, which must surely come to a climactic end at some point. God is bigger than all that. He is still sovereign over it. And there's no promise in Scripture that you're going to be spared from the bad stuff. But there is promise in Scripture that in the midst of it, he will be there with you. And I have a lot of faith in that and a lot of commitment to that. So these parables actually take us into the kingdom's full and final establishment and point towards the ultimate growth of the kingdom. Christ's rule, no matter how insignificant, no matter how despised, appears at first to be small. But it will grow and its end and consummation will be out of proportion to its beginning, such as a mustard seed. a tree from its seed. Now this parable is meant to encourage us. Jesus is saying it's going to start small, but oh, it's going to end big. We're going to win in the end. The kingdom is going to stretch across the face of the earth and on into eternity forever and ever, and we're going to be part of that eternal kingdom. You see, the parable is trying to tell us that in spite of the opposition, in spite of the three bad soils, in spite of the presence of the weeds, we're going to win. The kingdom is going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and that's the promise of Jesus to encourage us. And it'd be my encouragement to you. You see, we can, in our society, in our time, look upon the smallness of a little community like this, our fragility as a Christian community, and we can begin to despair. Or we can see it as a challenge and an opportunity to grasp all that God promises us and to live up to the expectations that He has of us, because He knows with Him we're capable of it. I'm not capable on my own, but with Him and with us together with Him, all sorts of things can be achieved that are beyond the imagination. Who would have thought that that little band of disciples would have become the life-changing force that we see across the world today? So you see, we're not a poor little group of people trying to hold the fort. In fact, sometimes I think the fort's almost not worth holding, because the people are actually more important. It's we as a community far exceeds all the significance of the structures that we have, whether it's church organization or buildings. It is the vision that God gives to us that counts. We are on the winning side. The kingdom is growing. And I'm going to tell you more about that next week, so you better come and find out. About the how. And give you some specifics as to, as we look into the parable of the other short parable of the yeast. Lord Jesus, we're sometimes overwhelmed by all sorts of things that confront us in the world. We seem at times so small and insignificant to the cosmic plan that just seems to be doing its thing, and sometimes seems to have a mind all of its own. You demonstrate that from such small beginnings, your church covers the whole planet. And we're members of that great enterprise that you haven't released your church, you haven't released your kingdom, but you're constantly looking forward towards its fulfillment. And you appoint each one of us to be disciple makers. So Lord, help us to catch that vision and to recognize that we can pray that in, we can talk that in, we can live that in our homes and our community. So Lord, help us to grasp the encouragement from small beginnings come great results. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.